RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for scrumptious and salubrious all wrapped up in one tasty treat? I know that you are, and I know that you know. That means it's time once again for Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and the diagnosis today, a salty red herring. Believed to be the origin of the diversionary term, a red herring was a smoked kipper, which was usually a herring, that was heavily treated with salt and through brining, and as a result, would have its flesh turn a deep red. Now, it seems that salt itself, or more precisely the sodium portion of the salt or sodium chloride molecule, has become a modern-day red herring. For many years now, the consumption of salt, or more specifically sodium, has been targeted as a major contributor to disability and disease, specifically by contributing directly to the development or worsening of hypertension and cardiovascular disease. As cardiovascular disease remains the number one cause of mortality for both men and women in the United States and in many industrialized nations across the globe, this is a significant health issue. And indeed, there are many governmental health programs like the Million Hearts Initiative, of which part of their algorithm includes achieving their health objectives through reducing sodium consumption by 20%. This program consists of hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer funds, as well as private corporate partnerships with similar allotments, all in pursuit of a goal that has never, ever yielded concrete benefit. Now, for a primer, read my descriptions on the salt controversy in the Atlantic and Pacific Standard, and note the dates these were written years ago. And for a full background description, pick up your copy of Fallacy of Calorie and read that salt chapter. These writings describe the purported benefit of the low-sodium approach that is based on the sodium hypothesis. And the thought process goes something like this. Increasing your intake of sodium increases your intravascular volume. This is true, which is why when people are dehydrated, they are treated with an intravenous solution of normal saline or salt water. More vascular volume also increases blood pressure, albeit temporarily, also true. Increased blood pressure or hypertension is a risk factor for stroke and cardiovascular disease, and thus bad. Also true. So the thought process is that by reducing the intake of sodium, we can lower blood pressure and save lives. Not only not true, but disturbingly reminiscent of the failed dietary cholesterol fat hypothesis. But folks, that's a story for another day. The foundation of this philosophy is currently mirrored in statements by the U.S. governmental health agencies that utter, because they believe there is no harm in reducing sodium intake, it should be driven as low as possible. Current U.S. sodium consumption is roughly 3.5 grams per day, but there are many agencies and experts urging a decrease to 2.5 grams or even as low as 1.5 grams per day. Reflecting the you can't go too low approach, anticipated benefit is modeled on a linear relationship in which there is an increasing risk, an adverse outcome with increasing sodium consumption, and conversely, decreasing risk with decreasing intake, all in a linear fashion. This potential modeling is where many of the predictions of low sodium benefit are derived from, benefits that are remarkably lacking in the prospective trials. Now, a recently performed meta-analysis consists of 4 large prospective trials that help solidify the reasons why as well as the relationships that guide them. This analysis comprises over 130,000 people from 49 countries who were examined for over 4 years. The population studied, importantly, comprised both those with hypertension and those without, or as we refer to them, normotensive. The researchers utilized urinary excretion of sodium, which is an accurate measure of dietary sodium intake from all sources. The results were striking and also in agreement with recent but smaller studies. The relationship between sodium intake and cardiovascular morbidity and mortality is not linear. Regardless of whether one has hypertension or is normotensive, consumption of less than 3 grams per day is associated with an increased risk. The minimum amount of risk appears to be related to the daily consumption of between 4 to 5 grams of sodium per day. However, there does appear to be an increasing risk in cardiovascular disease in those persons with hypertension, but only when they consume more than 6 grams of sodium per day, almost double the current level of salt intake. In terms of actual numbers, this represents only about 24% of all people with hypertension. When the population includes all comers, those with and without hypertensive disease, then the group at risk represents only about 10% of the entire population. For those without hypertension, significant potential harm did not exist until there was significant sodium consumption in excess of these levels. While approximately 95% of the world's population consumes more than 3 grams per day, only about 22% consume more than 6 grams per day, which is a level at which we start to see increasing cardiovascular risk. Now, increasing sodium intake did increase blood pressure, as observed in various previous trials. There was a little over a 1 millimeter increase in blood pressure for each gram of sodium consumed in those without hypertension, and roughly double or 2 millimeters of mercury increase for those with hypertension consuming the same amount. However, in complete contradistinction to the modeling theory, the relationship to disease was not linear. It was J or U-shaped, or imagine a smiley face. As we are learning, it appears that almost all the natural relationships we have with food, nutrients, vitamins, and minerals appears to take this form. The body mass index, or BMI, likewise exhibits a J-shaped relationship. There is a weight-height relationship below which there is an increased risk, that despite the pervasive mantra that thinner is better at all expense. The EPIC trial revealed an interesting J-shaped trend with relation to vegetarian or vegan consumptive patterns and animal protein. There seemed to be an increased risk of morbidity and mortality when animal protein, meaning that from meat, poultry, fish, seafood, and insects, which are consumed in many areas of the world, was below a certain threshold level. In fact, the linear straight line relationships that exist between what we consume and adverse outcomes seem to primarily identify toxins and poisons, not nutrients and necessities. And sodium is a necessity. It is an element, an essential cation necessary for life itself. It is critical for the proper functioning of every single cell in the body, and not surprisingly, its control is tightly regulated. Einstein noted that God does not play dice with the universe, and it seems he does not play dice with our salt either. The benefits of blood pressure lowering, even in those with concomitant inflammatory diseases like diabetes, seem to apply to only those with a systolic, which is the top number, of the blood pressure that's greater than 140 millimeters of mercury. The recent HOPE-3 trial showed that for those with a blood pressure greater than 143 millimeters, a 25% reduction in cardiovascular disease could be achieved with a 6 millimeter decrease in blood pressure. Now, that is an amount, by the way, shown to be achievable in another recent study by consuming just 30 grams per day of Gran Padano cheese, which is a Parmesan-like cheese from Italy with the sodium equivalent of a 1 ounce serving of potato chips. The failure of public policy due to incompetence and agendas and politics does more than simply squander valuable resources. It erodes public confidence in the ability of the science at hand to successfully deliver on its promise of honesty, integrity, and improved health. Worse yet, misguided missions can set us off course for decades and leave us marooned with disability and disease. We need only to look back at the half century of admonitions to shun healthy, natural foods that were rich in fat for industrially produced, refined carbohydrates. Nobody told us the snack crackers came with insulin. The continued misguided push for so-called healthy low-salt or no-salt approaches is a straw man. Since over 70% of the daily sodium ingested comes from highly processed, refined, industrially manufactured foods, perhaps the correlation to disability and disease has more to do with the quality of the comestibles than the quantities of things like sodium or the calories. The recent push with governmental labeling laws, which was just enacted, having been passed several years ago, again focuses us on attempting to achieve healthful outcomes through caloric restriction. They tell us, if only we would abide the number of calories and choose to consume less, that grail of great ultimate health will be ours. Just remember, folks, cyanide is calorie-free. And that's a diagnosis. You're listening to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike on Radio MD.